Hallelujah. It's a labor. Worthy God. Oh, glory, glory. Hallelujah. It's a labor. Worthy God. Oh, glory, glory.
Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, I love you, Jesus. I worship you, God. Lord, you are worthy to be praised, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, I love you, God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. You are so good, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's good to be here tonight. Good to be able to come again. Thank you, Pastor. For the opportunity to teach. Amen. I miss you when you're not here. And when you're not here and I preach, it's not the same. Man, when I teach when you're here, when I preach when you're here, it's just so much better. I know if and it's not necessarily because of me, amen, but I know that the pastor of this church loves the Word of God. Amen. And the Word of God is what we preach. Amen. Johnny James was nicknamed the Walking Bible. Anybody heard of Johnny James, the Walking Bible? And I got to meet him once. He's passed away now. But I got to meet him once in Providence. He was in Brother Owen's church in Providence. And he did a men's conference in Providence, and just what a character, amen, gentleman, preached the gospel, but he had this reputation of being able to quote scripture like nobody else. They called him the Walking Bible, and he was accused sometimes of, he preached this, he talked about it. You can go look it up on YouTube, How to Preach and Help Nobody. How to Preach and Help Nobody. This is the title of his message. He preached at 2001 Because of the Times. And it's one of my favorite preachings to hear. But he said, people accused me of using too much scriptures. And he said, well, if I flop and what I say flops, at least we heard the word. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So I want to preach tonight, and I just want to preach on this topic of Word of God speak. Word of God speak. And we'll go to Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Titus 1 and 1 through 3. Amen. Thank you for standing for the reading of the Word. Praise God. Titus 1 and 1 says, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. God had in other times used prophecy, in other times revealed little bits and pieces of His plan and Word throughout the ages. The book of Hebrews opens up in that way. But in due times, and He's talking about when it's needed the most, when the Word of God is needed the most, He's manifested His Word through preaching. Amen? God, I ask You, Lord, tonight, have Your way. Help us to have an appreciation of Your Word. Help us, Lord God, to magnify Your Word, Jesus. Lord God, not that it makes it any greater, or that, Lord God, that we can diminish of it, Lord, in any way, God. But, Lord, we can get closer to Your Word, our appreciation for it, our love for it, oh God. And, Jesus, I hope that we can have this desire, Lord Jesus, God, to treasure the Word, Lord, more than anything else, God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank You so much for standing. Word of God speak. Amen. I want to tonight, amen, talk about how that there's... Oh, thank you for standing. You may be seated. Appreciate that. Some people just do it on cue. After we pray, they sit down. But you can be seated. I appreciate you standing. Amen. But I want to talk about tonight how there's so many voices that are in this world and are vying for our attention. And I'm reading a book called The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. I was looking at something that Ben Shapiro was talking about, and he's talking about this book. And I'm not very far into it, but The Rise and Triumph, it's actually written by a pastor, and Carl Truman is the man's name. And he's talking about how that in today's, in order for us to understand what's going on right now in the world, you know, we come to these times and it's, for most of us, just totally disorienting. I mean, if you were, I guess, raised in this culture that is going on today, maybe you would have a little bit of acclimation to it. But most likely even you, being raised in it, know that there's something wrong. You know that there's something is totally off about what's happening today. You don't have to go very far. You can look it up on your phone, your computer, wherever, tablet, and you can see that something is totally messed up in today's day and age. And so this man, Carl Truman, is trying to, through using history and through using different stepping stones that brought us to this point, help us to understand what is going on. And he talks about how that there's been a shift, and I don't remember the actual Greek phrases he uses, psychological phrases, but there was this shift at some point in the last 40 years that went away from the desire for to emulate excellence. You know, we would see an inventor or a scientist, or like I have an inventor in my great grandfather was an inventor. Your great great grandfather was an inventor. Amen. And Gunther Kleberg was his name, immigrant from Germany, and he lived up here near Massachusetts, Gloucester, actually in Gloucester, Mass, and worked for Sunbeam and had his name on some patents and stuff like that. And so growing up, I'd hear about him. I only got to talk to him one time on the phone, but I always thought, man, that's so amazing. I've got an inventor in my family, and he did some real good. I guess he had his name on the patent for the system that turns the streetlights on automatically, at least according to my grandmother, and some other things. Worked on elastic, the patent for elastic, different things like that. And so I think about that and I say, man, I want to be inventive. I want to emulate excellence. I want to see something that is good, and I want to strive towards that mark. You would want to be the best at whatever you were, like, because I was interested in music. I wanted to be like the best guitarist. Who's the, you know, top 10 greatest guitarist? And we can have a conversation all night, me and Tony. Who's the top? And he talked to tell me about guitarists I'd never heard of in my life. And these are great musicians, and they put so many hours to obtain this perfection. And so in this book, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, he's basically saying, okay, we stop looking at what was good and excellent and perfect, and we started going towards be your best self. Live your best life. And give yourself a round of applause. I'm saying this. Give yourself a round of applause. You won. The modern self has triumphed over the pressure to conform to something great. But what did we win? We didn't win anything. In fact, we can appreciate beauty because God created us with that moral compass to appreciate beauty and excellence and perfection. We look at classical music and we say, classical music is certainly the most complex music. It's certainly the most beautiful music. It certainly has so many more movements and so many more changes and tempo changes and chord changes and key changes, and we can go on. And I'm trying to keep it in layman's terms, but we can go on in all of these different and explain exactly why classical music is the gold standard of music. Everybody knows, but for some reason, over the past several years, that complicated, you know, hard to play, takes years and years of practice, and you have to go to school for it, and you've got to spend 8 hours a day practicing your craft. All of a sudden, because of its complexity and because it's something that we just don't understand, we're going to stop striving for that. Well, give me three chords, you know, and let me just jam away. And we'll sit around the campfire and play mediocre music that's off key and without really any tempo or without any real melody, and just we're having a good time. That's all fine, right? Well, what do we lose when we do that? And so I'm talking about this because the Word of God is the gold standard. The Bible, the words of Jesus Christ, is what saves us. It's not great music. It's not programs. It's not even the classes, Pastor. It's the preaching of the Word that God chose to save those that believe. And so there's so many voices that want our attention, that want you to sort of slip in and conform to the normal world and whatever's going on and is accepted in that world. So it's so important that our greatest desire is for God to speak to us through His Word. And we must trust the Bible as God's voice in the earth today. And that it is the primary way that He speaks to us is through His Word. And then in giving priority to the Holy Scriptures, everything that we do and say and believe needs to be validated by them. Praise God. Jesus said that His sheep hear His voice. In John chapter 10. We're going to go there in a second. But let's go first to John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus said this: "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." Quickeneth means it makes alive. "It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." That word spirit means it's the same word for breath. They're breath, they're life, they're spirit, they're pneuma. And they're breathed upon us. The breath of life, amen, comes from the Word of God. And so if we, and you can look in John chapter 1 verse 1, and that will tell you that in Him was life and the life was the light of men. Amen. But this is an absolute truth Jesus is speaking here. He says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The words are breath and life. And so we live and we move and we have our being within the Word of God. Could we find life outside of His Word? The answer is no. Life cannot be found outside of the Word of God. In fact, He upholds all things by the word of His power. Hebrews 1 and 3 says, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power." If you back up there, he just was talking about how God hath in these last days spoken unto us through His Son. He's in these last days spoken unto us through Jesus Christ. And that it's through Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, it says that He upholds all things by the word of His power. So the answer to the question, can we find life outside of the Word of God? No. Nothing can exist without God's Word holding it in place. Nothing can exist. Nothing can breathe. Nothing can have life outside of the Word of God. And God allows all things to exist by the Word of His power. Amen. But look how dynamic the Word is. That great power of the Word of God that is literally holding the stars in suspense in space. That power of the Word of God that is literally keeping our hearts beating. And that is keeping the balance of the atmosphere breathable. And that is keeping the moon in orbit around our planet. And keeping our planet in orbit around the sun. That Word of God, which has such immense power, it's hard to even fathom. When you start to think about the greatness of creation and all that God has done and all that He brought into existence by His very Word, that's so inexhaustibly powerful. There's nothing as powerful as God's Word. But look how dynamic it is. Jesus, at the same time He's holding all things together with His Word, His voice is leading us like a shepherd. Look at this in John 10, verse 2. It says, "But he entereth in by the door. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." We could sort of pull out all these different, you know, items: the porter, the door, the shepherd, the sheep. But I want to focus on this. And it says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So at the time that God is holding his very creation in suspense and in position and into existence, he's also speaking to those who he calls his own, his sheep. Amen. Jump to verse 16. He says, "And other sheep I have." Notice that he's talking first to the disciples, the Jews, but he's also talking about us. "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold." They're not Israelites. "Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Amen. Jesus is that good shepherd. Amen. And it's through his words alone that we have eternal life. He says in verse 26, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Amen. You see, that word of God that holds the stars in suspense in space, when you start to believe on that word, when you start to listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, when you look at it, believe it, and hear the truth, and that truth sets you free and brings you into the sheepfold, you get saved. You have salvation, sanctification, life. Amen. You're saved. That very word that kept the stars in suspense and caused all things to be upheld by the word of that power is the same thing that's going to keep you forever. He said you'll never perish, but you'll have eternal life if you just hear my voice. No one can take them away from my hand. Amen. That's how powerful the word is. And so, it's just maybe my age or something. I was talking to J.R. and Warren, Brother J.R. and Brother Warren today. I said, maybe it's just my age or something. But I'm just not interested in popular opinion. You know, this isn't really the news desk. Unless it's coming from the Word. Amen. This isn't a place to talk about polls. This is a place to preach the everlasting Word of God. Amen. I'm thankful for the Word. Amen. I love the Word. Hallelujah. Word of God speak. I want the Word to speak to my life. Amen. Since I've recognized and since I understand the power of the Word of God to give life and to keep it and give it more and give it for everlasting, for eternity. Amen. I want to hear the Word. And I want to hear the Word. Amen. And it doesn't matter if we think it's amiss or not. The Word of God will not return void. Amen. Sometimes we're up here preaching and we're thinking, is anybody getting what I'm saying? I haven't gotten an amen in 10 minutes. I don't know if they're hearing me or if they're, you know, writing up a grocery list. You know, we get so sort of in our heads, in our own heads, while we're preaching sometimes, and we're going, are they even getting it? Am I even going to be able to transfer this love and this desire, amen, to hear the words of life to the people that are here in this building? And the answer is the Word of God will not return void. Amen. It will accomplish the purpose for what it set out to do. Amen. It's the greatest, greatest thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Our desire as the people of God should be for God to speak to us. Amen. Well, but what qualifies as His voice? Amen. Well, we know that the primary way that the Lord has spoken, He's already spoken. It's already here. We have it. Some of us, it's sitting on our bookshelf and we haven't read it in a while. I'm asking you to dust it off. Amen. Get it out. Look into it. Every time I read the Word, I get some great understanding or treasure or little nugget. Every time I get into the Word, every single day when I open it, amen, it's got a fresh something for me. Amen. Every day. Praise the Lord. And it's inexhaustible. The Word's never going to run out of things to say to you. The Word's never going to run out of things for you to understand about God. The Word of God is never going to run out or be exhausted in the direction that it gives you for your life and for your family. Amen. The Word of God is never going to diminish, amen, of anything. And it's totally inexhaustible. You can't, this thing doesn't have a battery that dies. Amen. This Word of God doesn't have a shelf life. Amen. Like the elements do. Praise the Lord. We talk about shelf life, and it's the word shelf life talks about atoms and atomic mass and how long it takes for atoms to break down. And they say that it's in the thousands of years many, many times. But the Word of the Lord does not have a shelf life or a half-life. Amen. It will never. In fact, it says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word will never pass away. Amen. Cannot be diminished. Yes. Praise the Lord. So, what is it that qualifies as the voice of God? Well, it's what He already spoke. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, Paul, speaking to Timothy, a young preacher, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Amen. Which one of you kids wants to volunteer? Come on up here, James. All three of you can if you want. Come up together. No, it's all right. Rachel, you want to come quote a scripture? Rachel got a Bible today. She quoted some scripture to Sister Robin. And she got a Bible. You want to quote that scripture? Yeah. Okay, here you go.
Controversy, grace, misguidance. As men find the past, the spine and spirit, sing the angels, priests and to the Gentiles, believe in the Lord, Jesus, and glory. 1 Timothy 3:16.
Amen. I don't know if you got all that. Good job, Rachel. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Why don't you do, that's 1 Timothy 3:16, she said. Why don't you do Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, and 6. Can you do that?
Yeah. Okay. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. These words that I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Deuteronomy 6, 4, 5, and 6.
You want to do any other one? How about James 2:19?
Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. James 2:19.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your help. Hallelujah. He says in that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. These little babies. Amen. Remembering Scripture. Amen. Those Scriptures are what's going to get them through the darkest night. Those Scriptures are what's going to save them. It's going to make them wise unto salvation. It's going to cause them to have discernment and judgment and be able to live and be able to serve the Lord with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. It's what helps us. They've been assured of these things. Amen. By us. Amen. By this pulpit and by the word of the Lord. Amen. They've been assured and they'll continue in them. And then verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. We're not perfect because we're human beings. But because of the Word of God, we're without charge. You can't charge against somebody that's preaching the truth. Amen. You've got no charge against somebody that just preaches the Word. Amen. Nobody can say anything to you because it's not your words, it's His words. Amen. And then continue in this vein in the next chapter. Same vein here. I charge thee before God. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Yes, Paul often would appeal to the highest order and appeal to the highest level that he possibly could. You think, what's the big deal? It's a big deal, Paul. Yeah, is the word just some nifty sayings? Are we quoting them like we're quoting Shakespeare? Is this just like some, ancient book that has some neat things in it? No. Paul appeals to the very highest level. He tells Timothy that he charges him before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he brings in, remember this, Timothy. He's going to judge the quick, the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. And He says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to them themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, even endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. Amen. It doesn't matter what you have to go through, Timothy. Doesn't matter even if they mock you, even if you're not popular, even if it's not fancy, even if it's rough, do the work of an evangelist. Commit yourself to winning the lost. Commit yourself because you need to be assured that this word which we carry, this word which we love, this word that Jesus speaks to His sheep, that it's going to keep us and it's never going to fail us and it's going to take us through everything that we have to go through and it's going to take us all the way into eternity and it will never, ever fail. Amen. The road to heaven, amen, is right here through the Word. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He was the Word made flesh. When He gave you His Spirit, He gave you the Spirit of truth. Amen. And it's the Word. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy Word. Thy Word is thy... Let me re-quote that. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Amen. That's what happens when I don't put them in my notes. Praise the Lord. We're not perfect, but the Word is perfect. Amen. And the Word of God doesn't need anything from me. It doesn't need anything from me. I'm not going to sit here and mix my psychology into the Scriptures and view things through the lens of my own mind and of my own lusts and of my own flesh and try to sort of serve that up to people. That's not how it's supposed to be. I don't need, the Word of God doesn't need a cheerleader. It doesn't need us to go, you know, do a routine to get people to listen to it. It stands on its own. Amen? I was talking to Sister Robin. Thank you for giving those Bibles to the kids in the church. And if you think about what is the most valuable thing that you have, many times people run in to the burning house and they get those photos of, you know, their family that have been passed away. A lot of times they'll go run to the document safe and grab that and run out of the house with it. And those things are important. And I understand wanting to grab them. I'd probably go grab my guitar, a couple of guitars, try to save those. And but when it comes down to it, there's no question that the most valuable thing that I have is the Bible. It's the Word of the Lord. You know, we talk about the Bible and we want to prop it up and put it on a pedestal. We say, the Bible's the bestseller of all time. Best-selling book of all time. But you know what? Even if the Bible never made a dime, it's still the most valuable thing in this earth. Amen? It doesn't need our riches. It stands as its own riches. Amen. Romans chapter 11. See if you could pull this one up real quick. Romans 11, I think it's 35. Hallelujah. Go back up like 34. For 33. There we go. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. It's inexhaustible. Hallelujah. The Bible, you know, I don't know if you knew this, but the Bible, we say the Bible is the first book ever printed. It's even the book that's been printed the most. But you know what? It's falling out of print. In fact, this year I've been reading the Bible on my iPad. And it printed on the screen. And trying it out. And it's going pretty good. And some people use their phones. And that's all right. But saying that the Bible's the first book ever printed on a printing press. And saying that it's the book that's been printed the most. Doesn't add to it. You can't overstate its value. If it's never been printed again, it's still going to be printed on my heart. Amen? I can't forget it. I can't contain it. I can't understate or overstate how great it is. It doesn't need anything from me. Amen. Men have even tried to destroy the Bible. They try to eradicate the Scriptures from the face of the earth. We're going to burn every single Bible. And they're on the hunt. Going through the different towns. Going into the houses and pulling out the Bibles. And taking them down to the town square. And throwing them into a pile and lighting them on fire. But you can't destroy the Word of God. You cannot destroy. You can't throw them into the, you can't take all the Bibles and throw them into the Marianas Trench and get rid of them. You cannot destroy the Word of God. It is forever settled in heaven. Amen. And so we love it. We thank God for the Word. It's so valuable. Truth is the most valuable thing we have. Truth is what we love. It's why we come here. It's why we worship Him. It's why we praise Him. It's why we give unto the Lord. It's why we thank God. And it's why even if we're sick, we still praise the Lord. Because the promises of His Word, amen, they are ours. Amen. They belong to us. Amen. They are our treasure. Amen. That we hide in our hearts. And it's something that the world didn't give us. And that the world cannot take away from us. It's the Word of the Lord. Amen. It's what God has spoken unto us. His sheep hear His voice. And a stranger they will not follow. They'll be brought into the sheepfold. Amen. And they are His. Hallelujah. It's His Word. Amen. That sets us free. It's His Word that lifts our spirits. It's His Word that will bring us through everything that we could ever go through. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we just love the Lord right now? Oh, thank You for Your Word, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You for Your Word, Jesus. Thank You for truth, God. Thank You for revealing Yourself to us, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we love You, Jesus. We praise You. We treasure You. Hallelujah, God. Thank You for speaking to us, God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Of all the ways that we consume the Bible, we read it. I'm waiting for you to say amen. We read it. Amen. I hope we read it. Amen. But beyond reading it, I hope that we study it. That we search it. We get into it and we talk about the Word with one another, with our families. Amen. We meditate on the Word. Many songs, hopefully the good ones, are derived from the Word. Our worship is doctrinal. Amen. The songs we write and sing are doctrinally correct, or we do not sing them. And if we realize that they are incorrect, we never sing them again. Amen. Or sometimes we change the words to make them doctrinally correct so that we can sing them. Amen. But we sing the Word, we meditate on it, we read it, we study it, we talk about it. But there's nothing like preaching that brings the Word to life and writes the Word of God on our hearts. Nothing can compare to the preaching of the Word of God. For by preaching, we receive faith. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. We need to hear the preaching of the Word. Amen. When people tell me that you don't need to go to church to be saved, the first thing I think about is, well, how do you hear preaching if you don't come to church? And how can you be saved without preaching? It's the first thing. It's the only thing that I can appeal to is the preaching of the Word of God. Well, but I read the Bible. Yes, good. But do you hear a man of God who cares for your soul, who has prayed for you, who has sought the Lord on your behalf? God, what do you want to say to your people? Lord, What is it that you would have me say? God, what do they need today? What do your sheep need for their diet in this hour? Do they need comfort from your word? Do they need steadfastness from your word? Do they need to be reinforced and strengthened by your word? And go to the prayer room and go to the place of seeking God's face. And then, and not just for random people, but I'm talking about for you. Your faces come up in front of my eyes, in front of pastor's eyes, in front of Brother Greeley Sister Greeley and Brother Andre and Brother Fred. Your faces flashed before our eyes. God, who is this for? Who are we talking to? And God, if it's not for anybody, is it for me? What do I need to hear from you, God? Let me preach that. But that preaching is the way that we can have the word planted. Brother Warren was talking to me today, and I forget who it was that... Oh, a friend. Your friend Eddie. And Warren would get to talk to Eddie. And Eddie told him, simple man, but tough. He said, Warren, when you talk to me, it's like you're bringing pictures into my mind and helping me remember what the Word of God says. Amen. And that's our goal. Our goal is for us to bring the Word to life. Bring the Bible, the Scriptures, off the pages and into our minds, into our hearts. Amen. The Word of God to speak. Amen. The book of Deuteronomy is essentially, I've been studying the book of Deuteronomy. There's a book I have to read for licensing. I should say I get to read it. Amen. About the books of history, Ezra, Nehemiah. They call them the Deuteronomic books, right? I don't even know if I said that correctly. But the book of Deuteronomy is essentially Moses preaching to Israel. It's just word for word. Moses getting up, standing up before the people and declaring what thus saith the word of God. Amen. And the Ten Commandments were given in Exodus. But they were preached in Deuteronomy. And that could be why that the greatest commandment, which was just quoted by James, the greatest commandment is found in the preached word of God and not just in the list of do's and don'ts. Amen. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel." Get it? He's preaching it. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Amen. He's preaching it. It's more than a commandment. Amen. It's the greatest commandment. Amen. It's one thing to know the commandment, but it's another thing entirely to know the God that gives you the commandment. Amen. And so as Moses is preaching and he begins to tell the people, amen, throughout the first part of the book of Deuteronomy, has there ever been a time in history where God did speak to his people the way that he spoke to you and live? The answer is no. Has there ever been a time when God took and ransomed whole other nations and brought a smaller nation, which was much, you know, so small and so insignificant, and drew them out as a people unto himself? And Moses is just preaching it, man. He's just preaching. And the words are just penetrating and so alive. And so effective. Amen. and so powerful. It's the preached word of God. And Deuteronomy chapter 31, almost, I just feel like sometimes when I'm hearing preaching, it's like a song. And so Deuteronomy 31:30, Moses ends the service with a song. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. In chapter 32, verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. As the small rain upon the tender herb. And as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Amen. Because I'm publishing the name of the Lord. Because I'm preaching. Because I'm bringing to life the Bible and the words of this great book. Amen. And we're ascribing greatness unto God. Amen. It's going to just rain. The voice of the Lord is just going to rain into this place. It's going to distill like the dew of the morning. Amen. It's just going to show up and water our souls and give life and breath and food and nourishment. Amen. And deeply affect us and give us all that we need. Amen. Preaching cannot psychoanalyze you, but it can heal your psychological issues. Amen. Preaching cannot heal your body, but it can have faith in it. You can give you faith in a God that can heal your body. Amen. Preaching can't walk right through with you with every single problem that you have. But for some reason, after you hear preaching, amen, you got wisdom to get through all of those problems. Amen. It's the word of the Lord that is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. It's the entrance of the word of God that brings light. Amen. It illuminates and shines into our darkness. Amen. And gives us the path to walk on. Gives us the next step to take. Amen. It's the word of God. Amen. That just sort of helps us to navigate every single problem and issue. Amen. When God speaks to us. Amen. When God preaches His word to us. Amen. And God has great respect for those who preach the word of God. You know, Pastor, on Sunday you were talking about, there was a point in your message where you came up to and you said, this is kind of awkward, something along, me talking about having a pastor, being successful, keys to success, and how you need a pastor. You need a pastor. Everybody here needs a pastor. You want to make it to heaven? You need a pastor. God's going to give you a pastor after His own heart, and they're going to help you. Amen? And so Pastor was saying, I know it's kind of weird or awkward for me to say this, but you need a pastor. As a pastor telling me I need a pastor. And I'm saying, amen. I need a pastor. Amen. I don't need a new pastor either. I need a pastor. I need you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Amen. But God had put these blessings upon Moses and had great respect for Moses. And, you know, there's oftentimes people in your life that will tell you, well, God said this and God said that. And, you know, the word of the Lord is telling you this and the word of the Lord is telling you that. And I have a very high bar for when I will accept something that's said to me like that. people, well, God's telling you, God's telling me, God told me to tell you this. God told me to, and it's my friend in church, or it's, you know, this one or that one. And, you know, God forbid it's somebody that, you know, I just am an acquaintance with or something like that. But I just have trouble having respect for that. Because it's hard for me to get comfortable with the idea that somebody could be speaking in the place of God and telling me something that's not in the Word. So if I listen, and sometimes I do, it better be found in the Word. Or I'm not your audience. God didn't talk to you for me if it's not in the Word. And there's a lot of people that just feel comfortable, I guess, putting words in God's mouth. And that's concerning to me. And, you know, we believe in prophecy in this church. We've been promised some things and have them come to pass, but we're very cautious. Very cautious. And I've been accused of being too cautious. But, hey, this is getting me to heaven. Do I really need to hear something else? And I know that God speaks through prophecy. I know it. And so I'm not diminishing from that method of God speaking. But still, this is the primary way God will speak to His people. And so, instead of being comfortable putting words in God's mouth, what if we were to read the Word, study it, meditate on it, and then let God put these words into our mouth? I'm not going to sit here and speak on behalf of God, but I'm going to let the Bible speak. Amen. Through me. Praise the Lord. Word of God speak. Amen. So we come to Numbers chapter 12. And this is my last little subject here before we close. But Numbers 12 and 1 tells a story, and I'm not going to read all of it, but tells a story about Miriam and Aaron. They speak against Moses because of the wife that he married. And in verse 2, they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now, the answer to the first question, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? No. He had spoken through other people in the camp. He had. And then, hath he not spoken also by us? Yes, he had spoken by Miriam and by Aaron. There were times in which God had given them something to say, and they spoke it. And so it's like family trouble. Pastor, you're not the first one. Amen. And you won't be the last. Praise the Lord. Hard-headed family members. I'm the chief. Amen. Praise the Lord. And look at verse 3. This is how Moses handled this. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is the ability to have self-control. Amen. We get this sort of feminine version of the word meekness, thinking that it's submission. But you know what it's submission to? Submission to a higher authority. It's submission to the discipline that you have. And we could get into all of that. But Moses was very meek, meaning he knew when to pull his punches and he knew when to let them fly. And every time the people would rebel against Moses, you found Moses. Thank you, Brother Andre, for reminding me of this. You found Moses on his face before the Lord, asking for mercy for them. And so Verse number 4 says, "And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently. It's going to be clear to you, Moses, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" God's saying, how could you be so comfortable speaking against my servant, the meekest man on the whole planet? How could you be comfortable? What made you think that it was okay for you to speak against the man of God? "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed." Now, that's not the end of the story, because it started in Moses' family, but then it spread to the whole camp. And there were 250 men that came against Moses. The Bible calls this the day of provocation in Psalm 95 and verse number 8. He says, "Harden not your heart, Psalmist David." Let me read this whole thing, 7, 8, 9. "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. They tried God, and God put them in the ground." And so, because right after chapter 12 in Numbers, this is like perfect storm type of stuff. But right after chapter 12 in Numbers, when Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses, then Moses sends the spies, and the spies come back. 10 of them have an evil report, a bad report. And so they murmur among the people, and God's anger is kindled against the whole camp. And he tells Moses and Aaron, actually he just tells Moses, he says, "Moses," this is the Lord speaking to Moses. He says, "Moses, separate yourself from these people. Get you and Aaron away from these people. I'm going to kill them all." That's how serious God was. That's how angry God became, because he brought them all the way out of Egypt, showed them the 10 wonders to get them out of Egypt, parted the Red Sea, pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, brought them through, fed them in the wilderness. Their shoes never wore out. Every time they complained, he provided for them. And then they get to the entrance of the promised land, and they come back with an evil report. And God was angry, and not a little. And Moses fell on his face before the Lord, and God spared the whole camp. And it was his mercy that spared them, but he turned them back into the wilderness to march around for 40 more years. That's what happens in 13 and 14. But you get to chapter 18 of Numbers, and 16 of Numbers, and Korah, Dathan, and I have a friend named Dathan. Dathan and Abiram cause all the people to want to rebel again. Because, see, they didn't want to hear the direction. God's voice was telling Moses, turn the people back to march in the wilderness. I'm going to let them live out their lives, but they're not going to enter in my promised land. They'll be provided for. They'll have food to eat. They'll have worship. They'll have atonement. They'll have everything that they need. But they are not coming in to partake of this promise. Amen. You know, imagine if God, I always think about this, but imagine if God had allowed that, had let the precedence be, we can complain and talk bad and complain about what God's provided. And imagine they brought all that into the promised land. You think they would have defeated Jericho? You think that? No. And so God tolerated it and gave them mercy because Moses fell on his face and asked them to spare him. And Moses appealed and said, What will Egypt think if the people that you brought out just died in right before they got to the wilderness? Right before they got to the promised land. So God spared them, and it was by His mercy. But He didn't spare Korah because they took it too far. Numbers 16, verse 9 says, "Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to Himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them?" See, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were part of the Levites. They were Kohathites. And He said, "Why are you so comfortable speaking against My servant, Moses? Why are you so comfortable trying to separate yourself out from the man that God chose to lead this people?" Amen. He says, "For which cause both thou and all thy company were greater, are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him?" And so the price that they paid for doubting the voice of God and the word of God was very steep. And 14,953 people died. And so after that rebellion, God does the miracle with Aaron's rod. Overnight, it buds, blossoms, and there's almonds. And God speaks to Aaron and reminds him of the anointing. In chapter 18, verse 6, it says, "And I, behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift for the Lord to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." God says, "I chose the Levites and gave them as a gift for the Lord to do the service of the Lord." Amen. "Therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest's office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, Behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings and of all hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee I have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever." God gave them as a gift. Amen. To speak the word. Word of God speak. Amen. So God has called people to come into this sanctuary and speak the word of the Lord. Amen. Our pastor, amen, our teachers, the different people that come, amen, and minister, amen, and speak the word of God. God has given them to us as a gift, just like He gave the gift of those that would speak His word in the Old Testament. Amen. Can we stand together? Amen. And I want to read this last passage in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 8. Amen. I'm going to skip the parentheses, but it says, "Wherefore He saith, When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And he gave, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, amen, of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. That servant of the Lord, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, who goes before God and says, Lord, what should I say? What do they need to hear? Give me direction. And then comes and gets out of the way and lets God speak to His people. Amen. They don't come with an agenda. We don't come with our own motive. Amen. We don't come with anything else but what the Word of God says. Amen. And what God has spoken. Praise the Lord. And speaks it without fear or favor. Amen. He's letting Jesus speak, the shepherd of our souls speak and establish our hearts by grace. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for speaking your word to us, God. Thank you, Lord, for preaching. Thank you, Lord God, for meditation of your word, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for the discussions we have in your word, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for every time I think about your word, Lord Jesus. God, for every time a scripture comes to my mind, God. For every time, Lord Jesus, that I hear it, oh God. Every time I read it, Lord Jesus. Every time I search it, Lord God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this precious gift, oh God. This thing, Lord God, that will bring me, Lord Jesus. Amen. That is life, oh God. It's breath, oh Lord Jesus. Amen. And it's health, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. I praise you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. If you need a book for the elements class, see me before you leave. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.